There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal.
Welcome to No Mere Mortals Cover to Cover Series. The Cover to Cover Series is a chronological journey through the moments in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, centered on the main character of Jesus Christ. In 2020, the Lord directed the start of the Cover to Cover Series that originally began as weekly installments for Sunday morning youth teachings at a local church. In 2023, the Cover to Cover Series will move to being a podcast series, and Lord willing, will continue to be weekly installments.
Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, I just pray as we open up your word that our hearts and minds would be open to receive you. You have said in your word over and over, he who has ears, let him hear. God, would we not be closed off by our life circumstances? Not that you don't care about those, but in this moment, in this place, you will actually speak to us about our circumstances by your word. So, Father, would we experience you by your spirit through your word this morning. In his name, amen. You guys can have a seat. Again, you guys are looking there in Leviticus chapter 26, but just a quick, we just looked at an overview, but just to kind of keep you guys on this kind of time frame we've been going through. So our plan, as we have been making our way through, is that we're going to go from cover to cover through the Bible chronologically. We're going moment by moment. So where we are right now, if you guys remember, is the book of Leviticus picks up just about a year after the nation of Israel has left Egypt. So we are a year out from the book of Exodus. Now, the book of Leviticus itself, when you actually look at the beginning of, or the very end of Exodus, where we see the tabernacle come up, to the beginning of Numbers, you see something very interesting, is that all of the book of Leviticus takes place over just about a month. So that's where we are. We have now come to a year and a month from the Exodus, and that has completed the book of Leviticus. And if you guys saw again, the main word that this kind of encapsulates that is holiness. Holiness. And that we've seen, again, all these various laws with the Sabbath, the dietary laws, the bodily discharge, and that what we really see is that these are not things you're going to see repeated in the New Testament when you get there. That you're not going to see these laws kind of repeated because all of them, they were used and spoke of our need for Jesus. They were types and imagery to point of our need for Jesus. And that really what we saw is we saw that this huge book of laws was broken up really into two. You had these moral laws that these things included murder, stealing, lying, adultery. You're going to see those come right back up in the New Testament because those are part of God's character. And as we looked at, again, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, is God has his character that he gave an imperative, and you see those come right back around in the New Testament. But all of these ceremonial or ritual laws, they were fulfilled by Jesus. Not that they are meaningless, not that they serve no purpose, not that they are taken away with, but actually, in fact, that they are fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And what this book brought up for us is this question, as we see this issue of impurity, and how easy it was to become impure. There's almost this, there should almost be this system that goes, man, this would have been difficult. This would have been frustrating. This would have been hard to deal with. And so this question comes up of how can a sinful person have a relationship with a holy God? And that, again, is why Leviticus addresses three issues for us. It brings up to reveal that we are not holy and are, in fact, sinners, and that the penalty of sin is death. But then that we also see as God, knowing the unfaithfulness of man, provides a remedy for that penalty and for that sin. Again, we know this because we see things in like Romans 3:23 that says, for all have sinned and all fall short of the standard of God. We see that the penalty was revealed in like Galatians 3, chapter 10, where it says, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages, the cost of sin is death. But that same verse, I love Romans 6:23. If you could take one verse to almost sum up all of Scripture, you have Romans 6:23, because it tells us the Old Testament of the wages of sin is death. But it continues on, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. In Galatians 3, chapter 13, told us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So in one hand, we're told is if you're under a curse, if you try and put yourself under the law and try and keep everything, they say that's a cursed living. Again, to you guys who maybe echo my growing up as lifers, you've grown up going to church your whole life. You're trying to be the good Christian. You're trying to do the devotions, do the serving, do this. And you find yourself sometimes white-knuckling and you're frustrated. And inside there's almost that, how good do I have to be? So what happens? So I do all this church stuff. I get mad. And maybe I curse and swear. Maybe someone does something wrong and I pop off a couple profanities. So what, am I just done? Is God done with me? Again, I struggled growing up my whole life. I asked my dad this question. We're driving down the road. I go, okay, I'm trying to do this good stuff. But let's just say, Dad, hypothetically, we're driving down the road. I see a semi coming at us and I say, oh, and drop an F-bomb. And we get hit and I die. Does God go, oh, so close. You were doing so good, but you know, you died saying an F-bomb, so you're out. How frustrating that life would be. And that's the curse to anyone who tries to legalistically say, well, I'm going to be good enough by being a good person. I'm going to get to heaven by the fact that I'm a genuine, sincere person. And I'm true to myself. And so that should be good enough. The truth is what we understand is we can laugh at that F-bomb in the car, but the reality is it is the same frustrating life. It can have a veneer and a facade of goodness, but inside it is frustrating with a never knowing, well, how good do I have to be? I recently watched an interview where this individual is being asked about God, and they're talking about, and it's just heartbreaking because it's clear they don't have a relationship with Christ because, hey, I just hope that when I get up there, when I get to those gates, that God will say, you've done good enough. And as the person's saying it, they're sobbing because you can see the cursed agony of not knowing, I don't know if I'm going to get to be there. And yet we're told in Scripture that he has written these things that you may know that you have eternal life. That is why Galatians 3:23 says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Again, as we look through all these chapters, and in great encapsulation, is you go, okay, the greatest commentary on Scripture is? All right. So what does all the laws have to do? What do you mean? So do we just throw those out? And someone asked Jesus that question. So here's a great thing. So what is all this about? Why do I need to know the book of Leviticus? Well, I'll tell you guys this one. You're not going to find a more book where God is directly speaking. And the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said. So for anyone in this room who's ever said, well, I want to know God's voice. What do you mean you know God speaking to you? Read the book of Leviticus. I know it doesn't seem like that should be logical because that's Old Testament law stuff, but you're going to see even in there the consistent heart of God and his voice come through. And then Jesus was asked this question. This religious guy thought he could trap Jesus. He thought he could come along. And because, again, at this time, not only were they trying to keep the literal law of Moses, putting themselves under curse, they had expounded on it with these different oral traditions of what was the interpretation of how you should do these things. And so they come up to Jesus and they go, well, we're going to try and basically pit him against the people and take him down a notch. And so a guy goes, all right, Jesus, tell us, what is the greatest of all the laws? Right? What kind of debate would that be? Well, what's more important, loving your neighbor or loving God? Is it not making idols? And what's an idol in your life? Or is it being kind to people? Is it staying pure in how you deal sexually, or is it about what we eat and how we treat others? And this guy thinks he's got Jesus on the ropes, and Jesus answers this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And again, guys, not only does Jesus beautifully summarize that, if you guys have been going through us with the book of Leviticus, you would have already heard those two commands given. The beginning of the Decalogue and the beginning of this, God saying, love God with all your heart. And even in the last chapter that we went through last week where he says, love your neighbor as yourself. You could take the whole law and hang it on these two things, loving God and loving others. Jesus would later say to somebody, if you say that you love God, but you hate another person, yeah, you don't have the love of God in you. And you don't know God because God is love. I need to make that clear. It is not the world's definition of love. It's not what you think love is. If you want to know love, you must know Jesus because he is love. And that is why in Matthew 5:17, he comes and says, do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And guys, I would hope that throughout this last couple weeks, month we've gone over. Hey, it's kind of sad. I was thinking about this morning. I think I took longer going through Leviticus with you guys than God did taking all of Israel through giving the book of Leviticus. There's something a little bit funny about that. Now, I gave myself a little check. Oh, we're going once a week. But there was something a little bit humorous about counting up the weeks as we've gone through. And I think I took longer than God even took giving the whole book. So something funny there. But hopefully something that's wrung out in this is to understand that by the blood and power of the life of Jesus Christ, the book of Leviticus has shown you that through a relationship by faith with Jesus Christ, you are not only able to enter into his holy space, as we've seen, but that in fact God makes you holy space. That you become the temple that he indwells. You are the tabernacle of God. By faith, by his blood, you are made into something uniquely new. That is why 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And with that, you guys are going, well, Bryce, you told us to go to Leviticus chapter 26 and we'll watch a video. You're talking. When do we get to Leviticus 26? Right now. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning as we wrap up. I'm not going to stop and interject. We have gone through verses. We've unpacked chapters. Today, what I'm going to ask of you guys, which however it is that you need to focus, if there is ever a moment to just kind of draw, I want you to hear the words of God himself as he brings this book to a close and he's addressing the people after a long month of saying, this is how we can have a relationship together. This is how you can be in my presence and I can live with you every day for the rest of your life. He brings them to this moment. So follow with me. Leviticus chapter 26. You shall not make idols for yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves. Nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I'm the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land. You shall lie down, and none of you will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commands, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you. Waste and disease and fever shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant when you are gathered together within your cities. I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chasten you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons and eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation. I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at all, or at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate, and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, for the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwell in it. And as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another as it were before a sword, when no one pursues, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemy. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemy shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemy's lands, also in their father's iniquities, which are with them. They shall waste away. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I have also walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land their enemies. If their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them, and will enjoy its Sabbath while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despise my judgments, and because their souls abhorred my statutes. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and the judgments and laws which the Lord made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. And guys, I would just implore you, I know we just kind of went through that somewhat rapidly, go back and read that. I want you guys to chew on that and notice, as we've gone through the book of Leviticus, and this is again, when we talk about the Old Testament being revealed by the New Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And as you are reading this, what you heard is that God, by the way, if you guys don't know, and I don't feel bad about doing a spoiler alert for you, because God totally just dropped a huge spoiler alert for like a majority of the rest of the Old Testament. Because God says this, I have made a way for us to be together. But if you choose to worship other gods, if you're going to burn your children to these idols, if you're not going to follow along, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send an enemy in, and they're going to wipe you out from the land, and they're going to take you away, and they will make this land a desolation. Spoiler alert, that's exactly what happens. That is exactly what happens. That God says, I love you. I have made a way. And if you walk with me, it is a dad saying, you don't know how much I want to bless you. You don't know how much I want to pour out for you. He's saying, I want to bring the rain and give you fruit. I just want to be in this amazing relationship. But if you choose to reject me and walk away from me, no, here's the consequence. Here's what happens. Not because you have a mean God who says, you know, because you're going to do that, I don't like you. It's because it is the reality of going, if you choose to live in chaos, then you're choosing to live away from me. That there is amazing benefit and blessing to being in a relationship with God and in his presence. And he says, if you choose to do otherwise, it's your choice, but here's what that life looks like. And they choose otherwise. But I hope you guys also caught to the end. Because again, oh, this mean God, he didn't choose him. And he's gonna bring the pestilence and he's going to bring the famine. And right there at the end, what is his heart to? But my kids, if you just understand how much I want to love you, and if you say you're sorry, if your guilt gets to you and go, this life of chaos is horrible, I would rather be with you. He says, I am standing ready. I am the father of the prodigal son who's just waiting and watching to see you come up over that hill, and I will run towards you with open arms. And again, spoiler alert, he says, because even when you get to the land of your enemy, I'm not going to leave you alone. There is a consequence for living contrary to being in the presence of God. He says, if you walk contrary to me, you've made yourself at odds with me, and so we're walking in contrast. But even when you do that, even when the discipline comes, even when the land is desolate and you're in the land of your enemy, what does he say? I'll be right there. I'll be right there with you to say, I'm ready to go home when you are. That is the book of Leviticus. A God who lays out, who says the wages of sin is death, and he stands up to say, and I will gladly pay the price of your sin so that we could be together forever. But the choice is yours. Your choice whether you will choose to open and live in this amazing gift that he offers or to say, no, I think I got this. I'll do it on my own terms. And you have a loving God who warns you and says, this is what that life looks like. But I want so much more for you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for who you are. Father, I pray if there's anyone in this room right now that doesn't know for sure if they were to leave this world that they would spend eternity with you, that they would know they do not have to leave this room not knowing that. Lord, that you have from eternity past gone out of your way to declare your glory, to declare your love, Lord, to just lay out your plan for us to be with you forever. Father, what I pray that anyone in this room would know that you are not angry at them. You do not hate them, but it is out of love that you warn us of a life that is contrary to you. And God, we see here in this book of Leviticus, one that so many would call a harsh law, who would try and use it and twist it against your nature, but the nature we see is a loving God who by the payment of innocent blood makes a way for us to be with you forever. And even when we would choose to reject that, you warn us of the consequences and remind us that you are right there standing and waiting to gladly and quickly forgive. Father, we thank you for everything that you've done in our life and everything you have planned. In your son's name, amen.
The Cover to Cover series is part of No Mere Mortal. The No Mere Mortal ethos derives from the biblically grounded and inspired work of C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory. You can find more No Mere Mortal content, including the Cover to Cover series, on our website at nomeremortal.org. Follow us on Twitter, Truth, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and most major podcasting services. Subscribe, follow, like, comment, leave a review, and share. The music you've heard has been provided by Sicko, that's C-I-K-K-0. And you can find him at YouTube at SickosBeatSuck797. My name is Bryce, and you are No Mere Mortal.